IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
2 years ago, says a listener, when sanctions were wrought in against Russia and grain was getting scarce, we were told don't be relying on imports. Not long before that, we were told grow lettuces on windowsills. All the while the population is growing now, they are for re-wetting a fifth of the country. They don't know what story to run. The message can be confusing, can't it? Good morning, Greg. Listening to your show and couldn't agree more with the man on talking about the new houses in Convoy. His points are very valid, and as a person living in Convoy myself, I couldn't agree more. We all want new social housing, but these things have to be done properly and everyone should be happy with the way it's done. Convoy does seem to be overly developed in regards housing in the last 10 years, and maybe it's time to do more to the infrastructure in the village before building new houses so that both existing residents and future residents of Convoy have adequate services available. Thank you for your text. Hi Greg, just wondering if any coach or lorry drivers have noticed the state of the road to Lifford from above Dromahol, where the lorry fell in. They stuck cones up 3 months ago and the potholes are mostly on the edge of the white line, so you just can't miss them. Thanks. Anyone out there want to comment on that? Along with that listener, please feel free to do so. The population of Convoy has increased in the last 10 to 15 years. We have a lot of housing estates, but the infrastructure has not changed, says another listener. There was a gorse fire during the summer and they were unable to access water hydrants as the water pressure was too low. A lot of houses have water and sewage issues. The infrastructure of Convoy needs to be updated for the increase in population. So a lot of comments along that way of thinking. All the News loves chatting about Enoch Burke. Why would he be allowed to have his own belief? After all, we have genders. You see, they forgot to teach us that. We're so stupid that we believe there are only two genders, and if you check properly, Enoch's problem is not regarding transgender. I made quite clear what the issue is. Morning, Greg. It's crazy Enoch Burke is in prison for his beliefs on transgender. What a waste of taxpayers' money. Thank you. But he's not, you see. Enoch Burke could go into court and he could say, I will no longer attend the school I was sacked from, and he walks out a free man. He doesn't have to go in and say, I embrace transgenderism, or I believe there are more than two genders. He doesn't have to do any of that. All he has to do is go into court and commit to not attending the school. That is it. And then he can use his platform, his profile, his money, whatever he wants to do, to talk as much as he wants to about the issues that are important to him. But he's not in prison because of his beliefs on transgenderism. That being said, his family believe that that's what led to his imprisonment. But fundamentally, you know, he needs to sort out his sacking from the school. So go to that appeal, make the argument there, say, look, you're sacking me because of my views. That's not why, or, you know, that's not what he feels. That so he has got the issue with the school in terms of his sacking, which is fundamentally based on his views on transgenderism. But the reason he's in prison is because he was asked to stay away from the school, even though he was sacked, and he continued to turn up every day. All he has to do is go into court and say, I will no longer attend the school. He doesn't have to backtrack on his views, his religion, his Christianity, or whatever it is. Peppa Pig's story brings to mind, what about Horrid Henry? Is Horrid Henry in Peppa Pig? I do know Horrid Henry, but I'm not sure if they're in Peppa Pig or not. Rightio, let us take a quick break. We'll be back with more in the 9 till noon show after we get the bingo numbers. Good luck if you are playing today. So we were talking a little earlier on, tomorrow being February 29th, and it's unique in a couple of ways. I suppose the first being that if you happen to be born on the 29th, then you're, I don't know, 66. Why did I pick a number not easily divisible by four? Anyway, you'd be a quarter of the age that someone born the day before might be. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well. But also traditionally, and I was questioning this, and it is the case, that the 29th of February might be an opportunity for women out there to propose in line with traditions. But women don't need dates to be assertive, apparently. Well, of course they don't. Dr. Caroline West is Bumble sex and relationship expert, and she joins us now. Good morning, Caroline.
Morning, Greg. How are you?
I'm good. So I suppose to coincide with this, and hey, if it gets the Bumble name out there, all well and good as well. You've been doing a bit of a survey. What were you asking women?
Yeah, we're asking women how comfortable they felt making the first move, because that's what Bumble is all about. Women can send the first message on the app. And the good news is that a lot of women feel that sense of empowerment in their daily lives. So one in three are saying they're rejecting those timelines around you have to be married by a certain age, you have to have kids, you have to do this, you should, all those kind of pressures. So it's really great to see people dating in ways that make sense for them rather than what Auntie Margaret from 50 years ago thinks. So it's really great to see that authenticity and empowerment.
And 2/3 of women surveyed are comfortable being the first to say, I love you, to their partner in a relationship.
Yeah, I think that's great. For years, women, we've been judged if we were too forward. That meant we were too easy or too desperate or, worried about being left on the shelf. All these kind of social pressures that we put on women. And now it's great that we're like, going to throw that in the bin, going to live my life the way I want to, which is fantastic.
And also to the majority of women are, it's very clear. They're very, they want to establish their role in a relationship early on. You know what I mean? They're not prepared to suck it and see what it says, see how things pan out. They want to sort of have their status in their relationship clear from the get-go.
Yeah, which is great. We found in Bumble that women really prioritize emotional intelligence. So that's, I think it's a result of lockdown. If you were locked up with someone for a few months, it might be great how good they look, but how did they solve an argument? Or how do you divide the chores and the household? All those kind of things. How do you deal with the awkward conversations that we're all going to have? So I think that's really important to suss out, early on in the relationship, like what the stance is around equality. Do you have the same values? Are you on the same timelines? Are you, what does marriage mean if that's what you want to have in your relationship? So all those really important questions are now being asked, and it's just such a fantastic change to sitting around waiting for a man to, decide the timeline or decide what the relationship will look like, which historically in Ireland, that's what women had to do.
Yeah, looking at I can't remember the exact figure, but looking at the most recent CSO stats, an awful lot of people are single. And the default position might be that they just, they can't find the right person or no one wants them, whatever it might be. I'm not saying that's what I feel, but maybe it's because people are becoming more discerning. They're content enough in single life and they are prepared to wait for the right person who, they match their needs and they match their own needs.
Absolutely. Like if you look back 100 years in Irish society, like you kind of had to get married, and especially if you wanted a child, you had to get married, because if you got, if you had a child out of wedlock, it was one of the worst things you could do, and you could end up in a laundry or a mother and baby home, all these like social stigmas that were just really quite suffocating for women. But now it's, we don't have to get married, we don't even have to have children, and we have more control over what our families look like. So we've got all these new types of families, like blended families, stepkids, no kids, being happily child-free. So we have so much more freedom now to have the kind of relationships that work for us. It doesn't have to be you do this, you do this, you do this.
And
We
some,
can
but
deal with that.
some listening, Caroline, and it's everyone's entitled to their opinion, though, will feel that's not progression, that's us going back. You know, I mean, we need actually to be making more children because we need to knock out more babies to look after us when we get older. Do you know what I mean? So in terms of, people making decisions not to have bigger families or have any family at all, there are consequences to that. You know, we're not going to dig into that right now, but there's someone say, well, maybe that's not really as progressive as we might think, and then we could find ourselves like the doing the conversation that's happening in China at the moment, that you do actually need to be having children.
Yeah, well, part of that comes down to the expectations of your children. You don't have children to have an inbuilt carer. You have a child for them to live their lives. And sure, what if they all emigrate to Australia? You don't have anyone to look after you then in your old age. So, your children don't owe you anything.
Yes,
And lots of
but
people are choosing to.
I take your point, and not being argumentative, but it's actually in terms of paying tax, to pay pensions and to work and to have a. But I get you, and everyone has different views, and that's fine. I don't know what the right view on that is, so I can't argue one way or other. Now, you proposed to your partner, your husband, am I correct? And
I did.
Was it on a leap year or different time of the year, or what was that like?
No. Not at all. No, it was at Christmas actually, and yeah, I decided that this was it. You know, I met someone that I really liked, and we'd had conversations about potentially getting married. So it wasn't something out of the blue, which
you
know,
got the,
to me,
the feelers were out, and you were pretty confident of a yes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, which is always a good thing to know when you're going to propose to someone. So maybe, you know, proposing in public when you're not sure what the answer will be might not be the wisest solution. So yeah, I proposed to him, and then a few weeks later he proposed to me because it's a mutual decision. Mm. So I think we should both be asked to do it. And I think it was great, but we did get some kind of questionable looks from people who had to kind of rearrange their faces really quickly with the shock when they heard that I had proposed. So it really kind of shows people still have, you know, ideas about what women should be and what a proposal should be. And, you know, it was great to tear that up a little bit.
Yeah. And this caller says, guys, before I start, I love men. I'm not anti-men, but no, no, no to women asking a man to marry her. Men have an easy time in life compared to the crap women go through. So let the man pop the question. Let him panic in case the answer is no, lol. And I get that, but this is really about that person feeling comfortable to sit and wait if that's what they want to do, but that other people, her sisters, can feel empowered to say, you know what, I'm going to take the bull by the horns. So I think both views and both ways can live in the same space. I don't think one is contradictive to the other. So there's a lot of dating apps out there. What is the unique thing about Bumble? It puts the woman on the front foot. Is that one of the big things of it, or is that just something you see? What's the story there?
Yeah, so women can send the first message on Bumble, so men can't. So it really takes a step to empowering women to decide, this is who I'm interested in, rather than waiting around for a man to do it. And there's lots of great software that stops unsolicited nude pictures, things like that coming in. There's zero tolerance for any kind of body shaming or any kind of homophobic or sexist language. So I think that's great, because on a lot of dating apps, you do see that, and you know, you see that lack of respect. And I don't think that's a healthy way to find your partner if you're sending unsolicited photos, things like that.
Listen, I mean, obviously, women can be as interested in a hookup as men can be in a hookup. But does this, on other apps, you might get a fella that will cast the net wide, really, and with no intention of ever establishing a meaningful relationship. I can phrase it like that. With your approach, does it mean that, you know, I can see how it works. It gets rid of that, or it would help eliminate. Now, if a woman on Bumble wants to cast the net wide, that's grand. But unfortunately, there are sort of patterns of behaviour that are different between men and women in this area. Have I avoided the mines, the landmines there correctly? I think.
Yeah, I think there's still that stigma. You know, if you want to have a hookup once a week or 10 times a week, whatever.
Steady
that's
on 10 times
fine,
a week,
regardless of your tender. Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're busy, happy days. But also, if you want to have a long-term relationship, absolutely fine too. So the idea of empowerment is, like your previous caller, that works for them, doesn't work for other people. You know, so it's about deciding what you want and being able to clarify that. So, you know, if a one night stand makes you happy, great. If it doesn't, maybe then have a look about, well, what does work for me? Is it the long term relationship? Is it marriage? Or is it a whole bunch of casual flings? And there's no shame in any of those options. It's just about finding what works for you.
What do most women want from a man?
Oh, that's a big question. But I think the number one thing, and especially we've seen this in Bumble stats, is emotional intelligence. So being able to solve the difficult conversations, being able to be a cheerleader for a partner, being able to communicate, being able to take care of your sexual health and your physical health and your mental health, and being able to be present in the relationship. So people don't want to have to mother a partner. You know, they want it to be an equal relationship where, you know, everything is talked about and there's a sense of equality and respect at the heart of it.
Okay, thank you so very much indeed. Have a wonderful day, Dr. Caroline West, Bumble sex and relationship expert. So some women might choose tomorrow to pop the question. Caroline, maybe she's planning. I don't know, Caroline, are you planning to ask me to marry you or anything? No? Yeah, okay. but women now more so don't feel they have to do it at that time of the year, but they can be more assertive in their relationships and so on and so forth. Any views on that? 086 60 25,000. Let us see. On electric cars, maybe all electric cars should run on renewable energy only and see how that works. Who has time to possibly sit in a queue to get your car charged at 20 to 30 minutes? It's not like a petrol car, a petrol station where you top up and away you, and away at the moment can replace 17,000 to 25,000 for a replacement battery. You see, the thing about the replacement batteries, and again, I'm coming at this on the fence, and people might think I've got so many splinters in my backside, but like, I've had engines go on cars all of the time. Now, it doesn't cost 17 to 25,000, but you know, I saw an advert recently there where there's a 1 million kilometer guarantee on an electric engine. I think it's guaranteed that it will retain 70% of its charge for 60 odd for 10 years. So, I mean, like, there's a lot of misinformation out there too. There's a lot of people with an agenda against electric cars that will say, oh, well, the engine goes and you're stuck. But there are going to be people that's had that experience too. But I don't think there's it's happening all of the time. I just think there's a lot of people very busy in not wanting other people to drive electric cars. And I don't understand that. I don't understand why there's a lot of people on social media seem really, really keen to discourage other people from having electric cars. You know, if I choose to have one, I choose to have one. But I'm not going to try and browbeat my neighbour into not having one. He just makes, or she makes, their own decision. But anyway, as I say, I've driven a few electric cars. No bother with them. And great. Okay, but each to their own. We'll be back with our next guests on the show after these. Now, we're joined on the programme by Eilish. Hi, Eilish.
Hello, Greg.
Nice to speak to you.
Hello.
Now, am I correct in saying that you raise hens?
Yes, I've got my own hens, yes.
Okay, very good.
Yes.
And we were talking a little earlier on. I was talking to Lee Gooch about eggs.
Yes, I heard.
And I'm sorry about that, my ignorance. But you know what? If you don't ask, you don't learn. That's my attitude, okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Isn't it remarkable that these birds can produce these things? I always think it's an amazing sign of nature. But how are they formed, or what do you do with them once they come out? I'm trying to choose my words carefully here, Eilish. How often do your hens lay?
Each hen lays one egg per day.
Right. So it makes that egg over the course of 24 hours?
Yes.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah,
we were discussing whether or not one should wash eggs after they've hatched. What's the rules there? Or not hatched, sorry, after they've been laid.
Hens that you raise yourself, you don't wash the eggs because there's what's called a bloom on the egg when it's laid. It's like a wet substance, waxy substance. Because there's pores on the eggshell, so that closes the egg in to protect what's inside it.
So for in terms of obviously our consumption of them, then that keeps them fresher for longer.
Absolutely. See, my eggs, when my eggs can last, I don't refrigerate eggs mm-hmm. because they're not supposed to be. What I do is I keep them in on the sideboard and use them as and when, but sometimes I have too many eggs and I can then glass them, which is a different story altogether. But the eggs will last out on the board for at least 2 weeks.
Wow.
That's what I find.
And is it easy for you to
determine... But shop eggs are a different matter.
Yeah, indeed. Is it easy for you to... we'll talk about that in a sec. Is it easy for you to know when an egg is no longer fit for use? You know what I mean? If it's been out too long, is there a... I seem to recall my mother putting them in water,
yes,
and whether they sink or float. Is that,
yes,
yeah?
Absolutely. If they sink, this is how you test them, if they're fresh or not.
Mm-hmm.
You put them in a bowl of water, cold water, and the eggs that rise to the top, you can't eat them. Mm-hmm. They have to be dumped or whatever. And the eggs that go to the bottom are fresh. You can eat them.
Okay. Now, what's the difference between your eggs and the shop eggs then?
Well, my hens are fed organically. This is just a point I have to make. They're fed organically, right? And the shop eggs are washed. So the bloom that is on them when they're laid is gone. And that leaves them open to perishing quicker.
Mm-hmm. Now, another question I have for you. What's the difference between a chicken and a hen?
A chicken is a baby hen. Now, lots of people call grown hens that lay eggs, call them chickens. But that's not right. A hen is a hen that's laying eggs. A chicken is a baby hen.
So it hasn't started laying
before
eggs
Before it leaves, before the hen leaves. Yeah.
Well, okay, very good. And am I correct in saying as well that hens, they don't lay eggs in the cold, do they? Unless you obviously heat where they're living. They generally prefer the heat.
Sorry.
To lay.
Greg, what did you say at the beginning? What did you just say at the beginning?
I was asking, will hens lay eggs in the cold naturally?
Yes, they do. My hens do. And my hens are free to roam. I don't like to say it, but they'd be in the neighbours' gardens and you know, but they're okay with that. They're okay with that.
We've just got a text in here. Yeah. My neighbour's chickens keep coming into my garden. What can I do to keep them out? And I'm completely unrelated. Text.
I must give my neighbours some eggs.
Do you need a cockerel, Ailish?
No, absolutely not. See, if I wanted young chicks,
yes.
If I want the hen to breed young, I would need a rooster.
A rooster.
But because I only want eggs, you don't need a rooster.
Right. We were also wondering what you refrigerate or put in the cupboard. Bananas, tomatoes, things like that, you don't refrigerate them at all? Oh.
No, like strawberry. See food that needs heat to mature, like peppers.
To ripen, anything that needs
comes
to ripen.
From foreign land, like,
yeah,
anything that needs to ripen, that heat needs heat to ripen, like tomatoes, they ripen beautifully out on the sideboard.
Okay.
They don't in the fridge. The taste is a different taste.
Right.
What else? The bananas, you don't put bananas in the fridge. No, because you'd eat bananas kind of not long after buying them because they go black.
I think to an apple or a banana out of the fridge, I think coldness, and they do this with beer, it stops the flavour.
Absolutely, the taste is different. My apples, I buy apples, but I have my own apple tree too, but sometimes I don't have enough, but I leave them out for a week and they sweeten.
Mm-hmm.
They really sweeten, and I buy grapefruits and oranges. And I have sometimes the grapefruit, leave it for 2 months.
Wow.
And they taste so much better and they're juicier.
Okay.
Really and truly, the fridge isn't for everything. It's for like butter, milk and meat probably, but
Put your tomatoes, ketchup?
Ketchup, we don't have that kind of stuff.
Why is when I ask that question, no one has it? Everyone has it except the people I ask the question of. Okay, so you don't use ketchup.
I'm sorry, Greg, we don't use it.
You probably make your own tomato ketchup from your tomatoes on your sideboard.
I've been known to do that, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah,
but I just keep it out. I make enough to use maybe out for a week.
Do you actually make your own ketchup?
You know? You can make your own ketchup.
Being smart.
Tomatoes, sugar, mustard and vinegar and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, listen, Ailish, I won't delay you any longer. It's been lovely speaking to you. Do you have names on your hens, by the way?
No. I just call them the Bladdies. They come to me. They're always around that way, you know.
All right, pecking away. All right, take care of yourself. Thanks, Ailish. I do appreciate it. A caller says, Mr. Burke, under the terms of his contract, had to turn up to school each day. This is what the media isn't telling you, to fulfil the terms of the contract as being employed as a teacher. But he was suspended, you see. And I've never seen any contract that compels you to turn up once suspended. You know, Burke's in jail because of his beliefs on transgenderism, full stop. You might believe that, but he doesn't have to go into court and change his views. He just simply has to go into court and purge his contempt by saying he won't attend. Right, let's go to Carndonagh Community School. We've a number of guests there. Firstly, we'll say good morning to the teacher, Pauline McDermott. Good morning, Pauline.
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Nice to see you. Often the teachers, I sort of see them for a second, then they run off. So
that's what we do best, okay. behind the background.
But that's to give the spotlight to the children as well, or to the younger people, the young adults, or however they want to call themselves. The Junk Couture students from Carndonagh Community School are Julia Grant. Good morning, Julia.
Morning.
And we also have Kira Gilmore. Hiya, Kira.
Hello.
and also Eilish Doherty. And I suppose I'll ask you, Ciara, first, if that's okay. Talk to me a little bit about Junk Couture.
So Junk Couture is a sustainable fashion competition where lots of young people from many different countries take junk and turn it into fashion or couture. And it's a brilliant competition that lets young people express their talent and art through the fashion.
And Julia, how many pieces did you have to create?
Or just the one dress.
Okay, and what was it made of?
Well, Miss McDermott's sister was throwing away some storage shoe container boxes, mm-hmm. and we just took them, cut them out, a heap of circles, spray painted them, and that became the main part of our dress. And then we had a mesh lining and a few
shower curtains, or the bathroom curtain.
And do you, I mean, is it about how it looks or how easy it is to wear? Or it doesn't really have to be incredibly comfortably, I would hope, does it? Or perhaps it does.
I think we should ask Eilish that one.
Go on, Eilish. Did you end up wearing it? Okay.
I mean, it's definitely wearable, but it comes with a few scars afterwards.
given what you used to construct it, that doesn't surprise me. And Ms. McDermott, it's a clever competition, isn't it? Because it talks of sustainability, but it also gets the creative juices flowing. It gets people working together. It works on so many different levels, doesn't it?
It really does. I mean, it really, I suppose teamwork really is the key to success in Junk Couture. I mean, the school has been involved with the competition for many years. And as the girl said, it's really essentially about taking rubbish and turning it into something beautiful. I mean, we are just so proud of the girls and their achievements.
And a great deal of thought went
so hard.
Yeah, and a great deal of thought went into this. Who wants to talk to me about the sort of the inspiration and what kind of a dress? Because it's not just finding bits and throwing it together, right? So, you know, you look at what's trending, maybe your favourite designer, and trying to emulate that. So is it you, Eilish, that wants to talk me through sort of, you know, the inspiration behind the design?
Yeah, sure. We were inspired by the Dutch fashion designer Iris van Herpen. So it was her fall 2020 collection, I'm pretty sure. And there's so many dresses in that collection that we absolutely loved. And it was more like the circles we took inspiration from. And then Julia here, she found another dress with that mesh bottom for inspiration. And we just combined the two, and we went with the green to represent Ireland, and, you know, just that's how our dress came about.
And Julia, this is an international competition. Was it done remotely? Did you travel, or what was the story there?
First, for the final, we travelled to Dublin and got through top 10. And then that took us to the world competition in Monaco, where we just last week. Just last week. We had a 2-day trip over, and the final was on the Thursday, and it was an amazing competition. I was really quick. The time flew by whenever we were there. It was like you're over back in a second.
Eilish, did you have to walk in this dress? Was there any issues there? Or yeah.
There was. I have to do like a catwalk sort of thing. We had to walk to music for about a minute. All the contestants, all 60 of us, did that. We actually opened the show, so it was quite nerve-wracking, but it was really, really fun because the crowd was really supportive, obviously, for the opening act. But it was easy enough to walk in. It was just a little bit painful at times.
But Ciara, are you not there going, God, I hope nothing falls off, or worse still, Eilish falls over?
Especially considering the dress was shipped the whole way to Monaco, and we were just hoping and praying when it got there that it would all still be intact. And then whenever we got Eilish on stage, we were just praying the whole time, but yeah, we're so proud of the little ball stayed together.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, big shout out to Davey and DHL, who ensured that the dress arrived intact. So,
and Pauline, you know, like, our Donegal links to this competition, which has now grown into sort of, you know, an international monster in all the right ways. John Couture, Bon Cranaman, Troy Armour, he was behind this, wasn't he? And that's not where the Donegal connections end.
We have, I suppose, really, Junketure has grown from Donegal, you know, really. And we were very lucky. We actually won the Glamour Prize. So that is actually powered and sponsored by ATU in Donegal as well. And we would have very,
Actually, just to recap that, because that's an important further Donegal connection. So we've got the founder from Buncrana, Troy Armour. The award that yous won, which is ironic, instead of going down the road for to pick it up in Letterkenny, you decided to go out and win a competition in Milan. But it was Lara Jane Doherty, Elizabeth Clover and Emma McLaughlin who also attended the event, but they created the award that we see Ailish gripping onto, refusing to let go. Which
ATU actually created all the awards for the event.
It's astonishing.
And it was, again, through the whole idea of sustainability, because they used the old COVID screens that we would have had, I suppose, in during COVID times. And I'm not going to be a technical expert because I'm not sure exactly how they created, but I think they printed it onto the COVID screens, but they made these beautiful awards from the COVID screens.
Fantastic.
And they were presented to everybody everybody who won prizes at the event.
It's pointy. I don't know how it passed health and safety, but anyway, it's beautiful. and if that wasn't enough, Muff DJ Osh Bosh, he was banging out the tunes. Julia, what next then? Rest on your laurels, is that it? Now you've won that, it's been a fantastic project, and on to the next challenge.
That's also, we're done with Junketure, I guess, but hopefully maybe some,
they have their leaving cert to think about now, so
that's a breeze. What's your takeaway memory from the whole experience, Kira?
I think it's the friends that we made whenever we were away. We really had a great experience meeting all the Irish teams and just enjoying the time away with everybody.
And what about you, Ailish?
Mine would definitely be like walking on the stage. I loved that. I didn't want to leave the stage. Loved everyone cheering for me, you know.
Yeah, I know. I think we'd all love that. All right, brilliant stuff. And of course, from your perspective, teacher Pauline McDermott, putting Carndonagh Community School, it's already on the map further so, and a great deal of pride felt right across the school and the community and the county, of course, as well.
I mean, as I said, we're so proud of the girls. We have an amazing art department here. I have to say shout out to the other art teachers. They are amazing. I know the other art teacher, Miss McGee, has got two dresses through to the Dublin Regionals this year as well. And as I said to the girls worked really, really hard. This was very much their project. And not only are they extremely talented students, but they're also really lovely girls.
Yeah.
And we are very, very lucky that the school is so supportive. Everyone in the school has been very supportive of us and of the girls and of, rehearsal time and random things. Can you help with this? Again, a big shout out to John Collins, who is always there to help on the technical side of things and really everything as well. As I said, we're very lucky. Our principal, Mr. McGuinness, has been very supportive of the Junketure competition as well and has let us go and do these things, which is really important too. Have I missed anyone, Gary?
No, I think you've mentioned...
Our teacher also, Ms. Yeah. McDermott.
Thank you.
Wow, talk about fishing for a mention, Pauline. Have I forgot anyone, girls? No, I'm only joking. You mentioned half the county, but you know it's a brilliant achievement. I'll let you go now and get back to your studies and what have you, but it's from the inception of shall we, what shall we do, and brainstorming ideas to be sitting here now with the award on your lap, it's a really long journey with so many experiences. It's fantastic, and we congratulate you and the whole school, and it is the support of the school, Pauline, as you quite rightly pointed out, that allows it to happen. So we couldn't be prouder of you, Pauline, but particularly Julia Grant, Kira Gilmore, Ailish Doherty, thanks all of you for joining us, and the best of luck with the leaving cert as well, and I hope you achieve everything that you wish.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, take care of yourself, and also another mention to three students and graduates of ATU Letterkenny They designed the awards. They are Lara Jane Doherty, Elizabeth Clover, and Emma McLaughlin. They also attended the event. So, as I say, fair play to all involved. And then not to forget DJ Oshbosh. DJ Oshbosh in what he achieved as well. 086 60 25,000 is the WhatsApp and text number. We're going to Mahery Senior Social Club. And there is, I wonder, can Mary Rogers, she's just joining us at the moment. I'll just read a couple of comments as Mary joins us, because we've got a very, very special guest, particularly given the day that is tomorrow. I just want to just see when the audio joins here. A caller says, I was reading on Google that when a lithium battery is punctured or broken, the escaped lithium reacts with air and starts a fire in the event of an accident. Would this not be a serious cause for concern? I suppose the same way a petrol or diesel tank can rupture and start a fire. Now, hopefully I can go to Mary Rogers at Mahery Senior Social Club. Can you hear me, Mary?
I can hear you loud and clear. How are you?
I am doing good. I barely recognised you without a guitar in your hand.
Well, I have it right beside me.
You're never too far away from it. Okay, very, very good. And you've got a very special man beside you, Huey O'Donnell. Hi, Huey.
Hello.
It's lovely to see you, lovely to chat to you. How are you keeping, Huey?
Keeping very good, thank you.
Very good. And I want to wish you, on behalf of everyone at Highland and all our listeners, a very happy 88th birthday tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Or are you 22? Because you've only celebrated 22 birthdays.
I don't feel like 22.
Well, what do you feel, Huey?
I feel 88.
There's the cake, 22. I'll tell you, it's a nice one. Huey, are you doing anything nice for your birthday?
Pardon?
Are you doing anything nice for your birthday?
No, we're just out here in the centre.
Okay.
And we play cards every Wednesday in the centre. That's six of us.
Fantastic. Huey, where are you from? Where's your hometown?
I'm from Dunloe.
Beautiful. Excellent stuff. And is Mary looking after you there?
He's looking after me every Wednesday.
Oh, very, very good.
Well, you couldn't get a better woman.
Excellent. Oh, indeed. And she's good for a song too, Huey.
Oh, you tell me, is she good, all right?
Her and there's another couple of Marys, I'll tell you. The three of them aren't too bad.
The three of them here.
Hi, Greg.
Hiya, Mary. How are you? Lovely to see you again.
And you too. Thank you very much, yeah.
How are you keeping, darling? Are you well?
Doing very well, yeah. Doing all right. Yeah.
All right, okay, excellent stuff. And Mary, I presume you've got the cake out now. Are we going to celebrate Huey's birthday today?
Yeah.
Okay, excellent stuff.